Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
All right, hope you all had a great weekend. Monday morning, jitters, I don't know, whatever you want to call them. Let's bring Joel on. Let's bring Dennis on. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday, everyone. We got a lot going on today. We got to talk about China. We got to talk about Bitcoin ETF. We got to talk about new potential COVID vaccine candidate. We got to talk about Zillow. We'll take questions from our chat. Tim Quast is the guest today. Before we get Joel's charts on the screen, you can all hit that like button, please, and thank you. And then after you hit the like button, Joel and Dennis, give the rest of us a rundown. How was it on Saturday? The exclusive event of the year.
The second exclusive event of the year. The second one. No, it was awesome. The chat was fantastic.
Awesome.
Asking great questions. Obviously, we've plowed through a lot of material there. That's why, you know, if you did register for the event, I know a couple people reached out to me and they said, I didn't get the recording. I said, check your junk mail. And they said that it was in the junk mail. So do check your junk mail, because we blasted out the recording to everybody who registered after the event. So your filters might have said, oh, there's obviously, you know, this is an email blast. But if you did sign up for the event, you should have got the recording of the event. Correct, Joel? Am I correct in that?
Yeah. We're going to try and get that out today. I mean, I thought it was already out.
Is it out, the recording of the event?
If you had the live link, you could have kept it, but we're going to resend it out again
to everybody who registered for the event. And we also have a chance, if you didn't register for the event, we're going to put it up there to be able to purchase the educational webinar after the fact too. So we'll work on that as well.
Yeah, and I was just discussing with Mitch. I mean, the back and forth. I mean, between when other people were speaking and the questions being answered, and man, there's some sharp cookies out there.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it was Jerome Powell or some other people from the Fed, but they were asking some really great questions and just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and 3.5 hours it turned into 3 hours and 45 minutes, almost 4 hours. It was great. So thank you everybody for participating. We're going to get that information out to you today. Let's go to the markets, because that's why you all are here. And we're in the red. The old Friday rally has turned into a Monday sell-off. We peaked just above that high at Friday, 67.50 at 69.50. 19 handles in the red. We're through the intraday low from yesterday, folks. So the Globex low, I'm looking at the 43.30 level, but will we ever trade them down another 14 handles from here? Who knows? Crude still going, man. Up a buck 07, 82.80. Gold in the red by 350 at 17.64.80. Ooh, silver, let's call it flat, down a half a penny, 23.30. Bitcoin, do we have a sell the news scenario here? Down $905 at 61.170. And Ethereum, that's down 131 at 37.48. So Triple D, besides working super hard on your Saturday, how was the remainder of your weekend?
Well, it was good. As long as you don't watch any of the Lions game, you feel better about yourself. If you watch any of the Lions game, I mean, they've been close in a few games. This was not one of those. And then you look, we got the Rams coming up. You start looking at the schedule and you're still trying to figure out, well, which game are they winning? Because I've predicted on this show 3 weeks ago when they were 0-3 that they could go 0-17 to be the first team ever to do that. Obviously, the first team ever did to go 0-16. So anyway, so it was a fantastic weekend if you don't watch the Lions. Oilers won, which is good.
Got
a hat trick. So that makes me happy, obviously. So
sports went well
in the hockey world, we'll say.
In the hockey world, okay.
Yeah.
I did the most dreaded house thing that you can do this weekend. I did it yesterday.
Built one.
No.
All right, what is it?
No, I had someone else do that last week. Lisa won't let me up on the roof. I clean the garage once a year, whether it needs it or not, right? And I got a new roof. And these guys just pounded on the roof, right? And I didn't cover anything in the garage. And I had just stuff all over the place. Took me 6 hours. 6 hours. Sounds but fun. I did, yeah, and I went through all the archives. And I did find my term paper from my senior year in high school. You know what it was? You know what it was about?
Somehow it was about.
Well, I got an A. I got an A, of course.
Obviously.
Ah.
My dad and my sister helped. But you know what it was on?
What? No. Stock market.
Yes, a particular
the stock market as it relates to horse racing.
Yeah, that would be
that would have been tough. The stock market crashed in 1929.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year did you write that?
1930.
Yeah, I wanted to write it right after it happened. Well, you all know how old I am. I graduated high school in 1981, probably before some of you. Yeah, so born. 1980. I was in super senior honors English, so I don't know if I took that first, second semester, but wow. Maybe I'll break that out sometime. But let's go to the markets. We got.
How do we not have the Bitcoin ETF as the number one thing here on the schedule?
Because this is taking over.
We talked about straight. This.
Where's Enver? Where's Enver?
I got you, Spencer. Because this is a buy the rumor thing, Dennis. You weren't buying the rumor on Friday.
We talked about this last week.
It's still the big headline. It's still the big headline here this morning. I'll tell you that. So Bitcoin ETF, we got Tuesday launch. Grayscale or who's all participating?
ProShares, not Grayscale.
How come Grayscale didn't get that? What's going on with that?
So Grayscale has to do something. What they have to do is a little bit different. They have to convert. First off, what we're getting tomorrow is a Bitcoin futures ETF. It is just like the USO is to oil, but for Bitcoin. It's not an ETF that actually holds physical Bitcoin. As much as you can,
they're going to hold the futures.
They're going to hold the futures, and they're going to roll it over every month, just like the GLD and the USO, right? What Grayscale has is a trust that physically owns Bitcoin. They need to convert that to an ETF, but they can't because the SEC hasn't approved that.
They've only approved you to hold the futures.
So we've got, I think, two ProShares and maybe one more set to go live this week. We talked about this like a week ago. If you look at the spread between the Bitcoin futures and Bitcoin spot, I mean, it's gotten wide.
What wide, is it right wide. Now? Bring it up. What's the Bitcoin futures? What's the spot? Out Mr. Alcon. What are we looking at here?
The futures.
There's
some
arbitrage
right now,
opportunities or what?
I've been telling you that for a long time.
I could take delivery of that Bitcoin. I'll tell you that much. It's not going to be draining my pool.
Okay. Bitcoin spot is 60. We'll call it 60,900.
Right now it's 61,230.
Right, so it's coming.
Yeah, but that's the D's contract. Right.
Oh yeah, you got to go out. If you go out further, then you get here.
Show us. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm gonna become a Bitcoin futures arbitrage.
So if you go out further,
yeah.
I don't know what the symbol is on TradeStation, but I can get it on Thinkorswim here. If you go out to the, if you go out to the November, you get the futures at 61.7 right now. If you go out to the if you go up to the February,
yeah,
you get almost 63,000. If you go up to the January, 62.5, right?
So, a couple.
If you go
of
up
things.
To the March, it's almost 63.
I've thought 10 seconds about this, so you know, obviously, you know, there's considerations here. The fees to hold and physical Bitcoin. So if you're going to go hold the physical Bitcoin, one, you have risk. I see the people on TV that obviously have the Coinbase account and just accidentally sent their email out and boom, all their Bitcoin's gone. I mean, you run that risk all the time if you're holding physical Bitcoin that somehow, you know, obviously if you're not smart about it, you can get hacked and your Bitcoins are gone. I'm assuming if you own the futures that's not going to be as much of your problem, I would hope. since this is tracking it. So maybe that's why the premium is there. It's not like when you look at the oil, you can't just say, oh, it's like oil in this huge rollover, because you can't take physical delivery of you know, a barrel of oil. It just, you know, what are you going to do with it? So the physical delivery isn't an issue here. It's probably just more of, you know, those other risks that are involved with maybe holding the physical Bitcoin while you have that futures premium. So it's, and it's not an insane premium. I mean, you're going out 6 months and you're saying it's $2,000 higher. I'd say, why not, you know, if you're comfortable holding the physical Bitcoin, yeah. Why am I going to buy futures at 63,000 when I buy the physical Bitcoin at 61? So the arbitragers would, I guess, short the futures, buy the physical Bitcoin, and then obviously, you know, they've got the Bitcoin with the delivery. So I don't know what other risks. Again, I'm not a crypto trader. I've never actually made a crypto trade in a crypto account. So there may be some other things that, you know, maybe there's some fees in there that, you know, are hidden with making the transactions and stuff. So, you know, maybe the physical Bitcoin people can help me with that too. But and Shizzy's saying I'm an idiot. There's no risk in a hardware wallet. But I'm just saying that people who don't, Shizzy, if you don't trade Bitcoin, like I don't trade Bitcoin, and a lot of people don't trade Bitcoin, you just want to hold the futures. You don't have to like figure all that other stuff out. So maybe it's just paying the people who are actually doing their research and going. But I will also say, hackers are good, and we can say you can't hack, it's unhackable, unhackable, unhackable. I mean, if somebody gets your code, or somebody gets your email, somebody holds a gun to your head and say, give me your code or I'm going to shoot you, you might give them your, you know, your numbers. So, and then it's just gone. So, I mean, maybe those are the are risks involved that other people are saying. Again, I'm not a crypto trader, but I'm just trying to justify a difference between the price of the futures and the price. And obviously, you know, also involved is the time value of money. So that's one
which
consideration
isn't much.
As well.
Which isn't much.
Well, it's becoming more, though. It's
incrementally
more,
correct.
I mean, inflationary costs are probably involved in there too. So you can buy stuff today with physical cash. You can buy some stuff with physical Bitcoin too, but not nearly as easily. So, okay. There you go. So again, I'm just saying the spread there isn't like oil, where we have a delivery problem. We can't take physical delivery, and the cost to store is a lot higher. The cost to store physical Bitcoin is basically nothing. So
electricity.
That's my outside thoughts, outside perspective, Shizzy. Again, I'm not a crypto trader. I'm just trying to say I've seen multiple articles saying there's big roll because, you know, look at oil, look at the USO. It's a completely different animal. We don't have a huge barrel of oil to store. So it's different.
Well, but they are going to roll it because that's
they're going to roll Spencer. But in the cost. So go back to your basic, you know, fundamentals, you know, 101.
Yeah.
The biggest cost to a barrel of oil is cost of carry. How do you store that? How do you store a barrel of oil? This is what the roll is all about. It's not just everything rolls, everything costs money. It's huge physical cost.
Hold on, though. And I haven't looked at the filing, but maybe the filing might say we need to own the front month contract. Right.
Yeah, so I'm sure it does. But what I'm saying is the front month contract, the difference in the contracts, the difference with oil is that cost. The biggest component is that cost of carry.
I understand.
Think about like you got 10 barrels of oil. Where are you storing that, Spencer? Where are you putting that? You got 10 Bitcoins? You put it in your wallet. There's not nothing's being cost there unless they're charging for the wallets. I don't know. But I mean, it's the you know, it's just the storage issue.
Okay.
That's why you have a huge premium. And you know, and that's why you have the obviously the issue of the rolls in oil. But oil and Bitcoin are completely two different animals.
Okay, so right now the Bitcoin futures market is in contango because the current month is cheaper than the months that are further out. That is normal.
Yes.
You're saying that this normalcy may not.
I'm saying there's a $2,000 spread there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know why.
Because
and
that's
I'm
a normal
trying
future.
To justify
right.
it saying maybe there's risk. People see risk holding the physical Bitcoin, a hacking risk. You know, maybe they're seeing those other risks. I'm trying to justify the $2,000. The oil. Do you understand? Follow me here.
I'm following you.
The oil is obvious. Why there is
storage and transportation.
Yeah, storage and all of that. Yeah, exactly. Now you don't have that issue in Bitcoin. So why? I'll ask the chat. Why is there $2,000 difference?
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to figure it out here live on the show. I thought now 3 minutes about it. Not thought ever about this before. Why is there a $2,000 difference?
Who should we get? Sunshine?
We should get Joel. We should get Russell Rhodes from the CME.
Yeah, ask him. That's a fantastic question. Bring Russell on. Bring them on.
Okay, I'll reach out to Russell today.
Is it Russell? Is he? We haven't talked to him in a long time. You know what? I'm looking.
Let's ask the chat.
Yeah,
there's a million
let's go
people.
Chat.
Shizzy, why is there $2,000 difference? He says because there's a bunch of middlemen. Well, there's not, you know, if you can do the futures, you can do the spot. I don't know if there's $2,000, you know. I would just say if there isn't all those risks involved, you buy the physical Bitcoin, short the futures, and collect $2,000. If it's that easy, why isn't everybody else doing it and bringing it in? So I think there's something in there that I don't know. Russell would be an excellent person to ask that question to. Transaction fees.
Yeah, I mean it's a good question, Dennis. I'll give you that.
Asking that question because I know the answer.
Yeah,
in a way. I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer. I'll be honest with you. It didn't occur to me because that's a normal futures market. And
hacking risk. Alice saying hacking risk. That's what I'm saying too. I'm saying that they're pricing in some hacking risks. Maybe. But let's ask Russell. Let's bring Russell on. Physically email him that question. Have him come on the show and answer it.
All right. Can we talk about what I thought would be the biggest story of the day? Aside from the Bitcoin ETF, obviously.
17 minutes later, sure.
We have a new COVID vaccine. If you look at your top gainers today, what's up, what's down? Your top two gainers are COVID vaccine related. Ticker VALN is your big one, Valneva. And one of their suppliers is Dynavax, ticker DVAX, which I think Mark Chaikin has mentioned to us, but Valneva had phase 3 results of their COVID vaccine candidate, and it was apparently very effective. So both Valneva, VALN, and DVAX are trading higher. The trial met both its primary endpoints. And, you know, in the U.S., we have three vaccines that are approved. And
Symbol me again.
VALN.
VALN. Okay.
And in other parts of the world, they have more vaccines. They're using AstraZeneca. They're using the Sputnik out of Russia. This could be yet another one.
Just my initial thoughts here, and Dennis, I'll let you take it away from that, is, don't get murked on this one. You know, I just, you know, you saw the price action in Merck. It held up for a couple days and then collapsed. So this is a nice move. You got over $40 in the pre-market. So, you know, make sure you take out that pre-market high of 40, just over 40. Where is that? 40.70. You take that out, who knows how high it's going to go. But right now, it's leaking. And Merck had some crazy trading action afterwards, but we know what happened to Merck. I mean, there's a lot out there, and they're all going to be cutting at each other's profits. I see DVAX is not moving as much. Triple D, what are you seeing out there?
I wouldn't buy a bounce like this on a vaccine news. I mean, and you can see the market's response. We don't care about vaccine news anymore. The market cares zero about new, but we have vaccines coming out. They're everywhere.
Vaccines are
everywhere. Do we need another one right now? Probably not. We can't get the people to take the ones that are currently out there.
Good point. The
last thing we need is more vaccine. The market cares nothing about a new vaccine. It cares on this stock, the specific stock. Stock's getting a pop. I think it fizzles away and eventually leaks a lot of it back down. So not a fan of chasing this VALN move up 31%. I don't think you're going to see a big reopening trade because we have another vaccine, because we have vaccines everywhere. Merck was a completely different story because it was a solution to somebody who actually has it.
Yeah,
completely different. Vaccine news. That's why I was challenging whether why
right.
I was number one.
Fair
I
enough.
Care
Fine.
Zero about this.
Gap up to 46.25. I would check your news on this day, whatever day, September 13th, whatever they came out that day. Now, all these people that are caught above $45, they're like, oh, no, man.
They're already selling this morning, getting some of their money back, Joel.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah. Yep. So, but good news nonetheless.
All right. We care about China still. China probably matters. There's a couple headlines here this morning out of China. Headline number one is they had GDP for the quarter, and it came in below estimates. 4.9% was their GDP reading versus a 5.2% forecast. So slowing GDP growth, they said it was due to power shortages apparently was a big factor in this. So there's that. That's you see that headline and you think, oh, every Chinese stock trading down today. Not so fast, my friend. You look
I don't
at
see
Baidu.
Any Chinese stocks trading down. I see FXI what? Trading up.
Well, I didn't finish.
I'm challenging everything today.
You finish.
Okay,
what else
you
is
didn't
new?
Let me finish, and that's not true. Every Chinese stock is not trading higher. That is not true at all. But okay, Baidu is trading higher,
okay.
And that is because, and we've talked about this before on the show, how in China, every major internet giant has its own ecosystem with walls up that that's walled off from its competitors. The Chinese government has come out and said, "Hey, we're not sure about this whole walled garden thing. We think we might want to break these walls down and integrate companies with each other, just like in the US, right? In the US, you know, Google is tied, has relations with Apple, they have relations with Facebook, they're all related to each other. In China, they're talking about doing the same thing. This benefits Baidu because the specific headline here was that China would basically force a company like Tencent, which owns WeChat, to allow Baidu to show up on Tencent's platform. So basically right now you have a company like Baidu is completely walled off from a company like Tencent. You're on Tencent, you're not getting any Baidu at all. This would change that. This would basically integrate the companies with each other. That's why Baidu is trading higher, because it's seen as good for Baidu that they could basically get on the Tencent platform and advertise there, get access to those consumers that they wouldn't have access to otherwise.
Let's see what it does at 170, Joel.
We're
through it in the pre-market, but we're starting to leak back down to it. There's huge technical resistance at 170. I don't care. Let's trade 172, 173 in the pre-market. Let's see if it can hold it. If it can hold above 170, it gets a little interesting. I'm not buying the rip, especially. Look at the BABA chart. Look at the Baidu chart. We just did, 4 hours on relationships. These two stocks are related. And if you look at the last 2 weeks, they're right on top of each other.
Yeah, 170 and BABA.
I'd rather short the Baidu rip and buy BABA here and just put the spread on, to be honest. Obviously, that's, the short-term trading effects. I don't know where Baidu goes long-term. Just saying, that BABA's, Baidu up 4.5%, BABA down 0.5%, that 5% today, I think could come in.
You look at 170 shaping up in BABA too. The other thing that we talked about, on Saturday was, knowns and unknowns in the market, and thing to base, short-term or intermediate trading decisions on. And it's such an unknown. Like Spencer just went through all that. Well, it's good for Baidu, might be bad for BABA. If you're have to take in that many factors, for a trading decision. It's tough. I'm looking at it technically. BABA did trade over 170 in the pre-market last week. Nice little wall there. After 170, I think this thing has some hops. I was hoping for a little bit more of a pullback to buy it on the cheap. And then Baidu, pre-market high, Dennis mentioned. It's up here just under the 4 a.m. traders. It's another thing we talked about. 4 a.m. traders got excited, took it up to 173.72. Couple highs at 170, and then it starts to open up.
It is hard, Joel, because basically what you're going off of this morning is like one comment from the government on one day. You know what I mean? It's like,
what are they gonna say tomorrow?
right, exactly. Right. That's the thing. So yeah, it is hard. This is by no means an indication. Yeah, great for Ali, great for Baidu, because
exactly.
No, that's what the first reaction is, but it's never going to be that simple, right? So tough here. But my point in bringing that up was, look, you have competing narratives today. You have China GDP growth slowing, and you have this other headline that would appear to be good for certain companies and not for others. Very difficult to parse either way. I think that was Joel's point, and I do agree. What's not difficult to parse is this Zillow headline from this morning. Zillow is trading down because they are pausing their iBuyer program. If you don't know about this, Zillow, Redfin, Opendoor, they're called iBuyers because they have entered into the real estate market in the U.S. They are buying homes based on what their algorithm tells them to buy. initial reactions would indicate that they're not very good at it yet. Zillow has not made money off this. First off, they've only bought, I was reading about this the other week. Zillow is, in the first 6 months of the year, I think they only bought a couple thousand homes. This was last year. So last year, Zillow bought 4,000 homes.
Well, they should be way up in those homes.
Out of the 6.5 million homes sold in the U.S., Zillow bought 4,000 of them. And
that sounds awesome. They should be up like 25 to 30% on
Well,
them.
They're
if
not.
They're not making money on those homes.
They're
they
not.
Suck.
They're not really.
Okay, well, they really suck.
So one of the reasons they're pausing this program today is because they've actually they're pausing their buying because they have a backlog that they need to sell first. So
yeah, I was just going to say, if you're going to create an algorithm that tells you when to buy, then you also create an algorithm that tells you when to sell. And, I mean, you can buy, and now and they're kind of competing against themselves now. I mean, this is horrible news. I mean, not only for Zillow, but kind of for, you know, the economy and the housing market. I mean, eventually we were going to hit a glut, right? I'm just looking at 80, just technically, you know, I don't know how this news is going to work out in the long time, in the long term. 85, I see a low at 83.93, and then it was surrounded by a bunch of lows around 85. That's the only level you have. That's the only thing you can lean on. Have not hit that yet in the pre-market.
So there's a really good blog post, an article about this on Medium that I read a couple weeks ago. And this guy, Kobe Lefkowitz, did some digging on the numbers. And according to Kobe, he said that – so since Zillow began meaningfully buying homes in 2019, the average value of a home that Zillow has sold has increased 16%. They're making 16% on average on their homes, which is not great when you look at the last 12 to 16 months.
Yeah, I think home prices are up like 25 to 30% in that time. So they've lagged to a certain extent.
Or you can just look at the entire picture and say, okay, in the first half of the year, Zillow lost about $667 million. That's interesting when you consider the fact that the housing market is on fuego right now.
Yeah.
And they can't really turn a profit. So okay, it would appear to be that right now we're still only a couple years into this. It would appear that Zillow, Redfin, Opendoor, those are the three largest iBuyers, that they're just because they're buying some homes doesn't mean necessarily that they're A, driving up prices, or B, actually good at it, right? That part remains to be seen. The headline this morning would indicate that Zillow is not super great. If they have to pause the buying to get through their backlog of the homes that they already own, would indicate that they're working out the kinks still. Not to say that can't be done, but that's what's happening here this
morning. People are looking to buy the dip everywhere. Everywhere, not even just, you know, like there's certain sectors that have obviously underperformed, but I think after last week's rally, I think people buy this dip. I don't even care about the headline. I just think that there's a lot of support at 85. You're 86.5 on ZG here this morning. You can look, obviously we talk, you know, the share class arbitrage a little bit on the weekend too, but Zebra, ZG, pick your poison. There's major support down there for ZG around 84, 85. Same thing for ZG, Z. Lots of Z's in there. I think people buy the dip. Just as Domino's Pizza, they bought the dip. I like the business of Domino's Pizza much better. Although
did you see they sold it right away?
Yeah, they sold it back off too.
Yeah, that was
interesting in itself. So again, don't chase. You know, the main thing here is don't chase. Even IWM today. So you had, you know, SPY looks pretty darn good from Friday. IWM did not look good on Friday and actually closed fairly weak. We had some separation happening there again. So IWM, I like back down to 220. I don't know if you're going to get all the way back down there, but I am looking. I do believe Spencer Israel's thesis that we're going to be at new all-time highs by the end of the year is going to hold. That's my opinion. I'm looking to buy dips on everything. I'd even be considering buying the dip on Z and ZG, leaning on the lows of the move.
Wow. I did not expect that coming.
You didn't expect me to buy the dip.
Well, on Zillow. not on Zillow.
And again... I wish it wasn't Zillow, Spencer. I'm just at this point right now where I think they buy the dip on everything.
All right. Mitch, what's up?
Hey, so I think
money managers will buy the dip on this just because they're looking to buy the dip on stuff.
I think what's going on here is more of a buyer situation than a Zillow situation. I think what's going on here is loans are getting harder and harder to get, even though rates are lower. So they're requiring more on the credit side and the requirements for income, because I think banks are concerned, even though there's low interest, they just don't want to be passing out loans.
Yeah, I mean, that could be. Yeah, I mean, the down payment is the barrier to entry right now. It's not.
They don't want to give loans based on the valuations that are coming out now, because the a house that you could have bought for $400,000 and got a loan for, now you're paying $575,000 for. You know, did it really? You know, are the appraisals going to keep going up like that? I mean,
well, there is a narrative out there that Zillow is responsible for driving up prices in certain markets, which, when you look at the actual quantity of homes that Zillow has bought, doesn't really hold water. But it's a convenient scapegoat. Then again, as the chat noted, it could also just blame it on private equity, because everyone's buying homes. So.
Just from a fundamental perspective, when I had a discussion with Gene and Gene Munster and Sean Udall, Sean liked the open, Gene liked the Z. I think they're a Neutron Redfin, but their thesis was, and it didn't have anything to do with them, you know, buying up houses and trying to flip houses. Their thesis is that they were going to get a bigger piece of the pie, that more people were going to be, you young kids like you are going to be using these platforms as opposed to using your traditional brokers. Possible. And they're just going to get a bigger piece. You know, it's kind of like Tesla. Is Tesla going to have 100% of the EV market? No.
Yeah.
But if they keep getting a bigger percentage of people buying cars, then that's good for the company. So that's a long-term thesis. You can, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it, but that they're just looking them for to increase their market share. That's
3 minutes. Let's go on and Zillow. Too long. Talk too long.
Well, you talked about the Bitcoin ETF for 10 minutes on your 30-second slot.
Dennis, what do you want to talk about?
Well, yeah.
You know what? Let's go talk AMC.
AMC? Okay.
Mitch made a great call last week. Mitch alerted us 3 days ago that if started to look turkey. Joel said it too.
No. Joel said it. Joel said it.
Mitch said it too. Mitch and Joel. Look how nice I am.
We'll be honest. I said it Friday. Joel said it Monday.
Wait.
like this Monday?
No, last Monday.
Last Monday. Monday. He said it on Monday, and I had brought it up on live trading Friday, the week prior.
12. Anything you can trade technically. Long-term AMC, I still don't understand it, but I'll tell you, it's separated from all fundamentals. All that matters is the technicals. The technicals are looking okay. There was a dip Friday night, and it was dipping down $1.50 Friday night. I don't even know why, but it was a buy the dip opportunity, and AMC is moving higher here too. I'm not saying load the boat in AMC. I'm just saying these apes.
Weekend catalyst, Spencer, right?
Yeah, and Spencer Israel went to a movie.
Okay, fine.
Did you see Nicole Kidman there?
Are we about to have like a moral debate here?
What movie did you see?
Because we did go to the movies over the weekend. Before anyone says anything, we both wore masks the entire time.
Get 'em.
And before we even went, you can buy your tickets online ahead of time. We didn't do that, but we looked at like the seat map.
And see how many people were there.
We went to see James Bond, and we looked at the seat map, and like as of 3 hours before showtime, 90% of the seats had not been purchased yet. So we thought, okay, it won't be crowded, and we were right. It really wasn't. It wasn't that crowded. But we did go. If anyone wants to shame me for it, go ahead. Our quarantine is over.
You're not even sick anymore.
Yeah.
Why are you
at work?
You guys.
Why are you at work? I figured I should probably ask someone before I just showed up.
But you go to the movies.
But I went to the movies, exactly.
The quarantine's up. You're not sick. I mean, I don't know when you're officially COVID free or what they say you're COVID free.
It's months. The doctor said it could be like it could be months before I can.
But if you don't have any symptoms and you're not coughing all over the place,
Exactly.
And the doctors say your quarantine's over, I guess you got to go with that.
Exactly. So anyway, I am your weekend catalyst. We saw James Bond. It was a half hour too long, but it was pretty good otherwise. Let's see what the chart says.
Okay, and just real quickly, no one can steal this from me because I'm the first to do it. This is the ape formation here. It's a new technical term. They're going to put it in Edwards and McGee. And this is when, you know, you have a big sell-off and then it just kind of buys a bunch of lows in the same area, a little consolidation. This is only specific to AMC. So this is the ape formation right here. And then
he's got the ape formation down to a skill. Al Khan has coined this.
Formation. Next week, y'all will be claiming it. But
Kramer will be claiming it next week.
Oh, yeah. Let's tune it in right now.
Sure.
41. You know, someone's taking some profits here. 41. Not much here on the dailies. My next daily high, 41.95. So that's all I can say about it technically. Going into today's session.
All right, it's 8:36 on a Monday. You guys,
Tim's got to save the show. If there's anybody,
Tim Kwas, save the show. Apparently,
if there is anyone who can save this show from being one of the worst in our history, it's Tim Kwas. You need to save this show. We've argued about Bitcoin. Roll.
You've argued with everybody, Dennis. I mean,
I'm in an arguing and feisty kind of
mood.
I won't argue with Tim.
I'm going on mute. Fight with Tim.
I'm going to join
you. I love Tim. I won't fight with Tim.
I'm going to join
Me and Tim have
mute.
Been on the same page for a decade here.
That's
so,
right.
Tim, bring us in. I'm just going to mute myself and let Tim talk so we save the show.
Me too.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't catch most of the first half then.
Good. That's a good thing.
Spencer, welcome back. Good to see you. You seem to be well and healthy.
I'm feeling good. Thank you. I'm feeling good. Yeah, good. Yeah. Tim, you know what? Maybe Tim can answer this question. So we were Tim, I'm sure you've heard by now that we're going to get a Bitcoin futures ETF this week. We were looking at, the different futures contracts, and as is normal with the futures contracts, there's some contango. You go out to see, you look at the March, February, trading at a premium to the Novembers and the Octobers, right? As Dennis astutely pointed out, there's no real cost to carry Bitcoin. So why do you suppose the Bitcoin futures market is trading just like the oil futures market and the gold futures market when it's not a physical good,
physical oil
that you, in theory, you could take possession of if you were to hold it through expiration?
Well, I suppose you could take possession of Bitcoin too.
Well, that's right.
That's what we're saying. It's easier to take possession. So we see a $2,000 spread in Bitcoin, between the futures and the spot. And I'm
when you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, okay, I'm not a crypto trader, so yeah, you know, I've tried to speculate earlier, but you know, I was wondering, and you're not, and maybe you're not a crypto trader either, but I don't know why.
I'm not, but I, you know, it's interesting. The discussion of derivatives is always informative, and maybe it's just as simple as this, that people don't really understand futures. Particularly this crowd that's trading cryptocurrencies. They don't understand futures. That's concerning. It's concerning that an exchange traded fund, which is a genius idea. We've talked about this before, that they were created by commodity traders. And that's an interesting juxtaposition. ETFs were created by commodity traders from futures. State Street.
Right.
Well, they're right. So the idea behind exchange traded funds was, well, wouldn't it be awesome if we could trade the warehouse receipt instead of actually moving stuff in and out of the warehouse? That was the whole idea behind exchange traded funds. So they're cousins already, ETFs and futures, but most people don't understand them. Most people don't understand exchange traded funds either. So I think you just you believe that there's going to be greater demand because of this ETF, and so everybody plows into the futures as far out as they can. I think it's that simple.
Do you know that the futures on the market, you get fully margined? You have to put out the full amount. There's no you know, like
no
five
margin. There is no margin. You have to put the full amount.
You have to put the full amount up. So okay. You got to be a player with some big money. Even to just trade one contract there, right? So I just want.
I mean, that's a big edge too. That we know if there was fully margined, you'd say, okay, yeah, you don't have to put the full amount up, so you can get exposure to more that way. But when it's full, you know, that doesn't, you know, tell the reason for the $2,000 difference either.
Yeah. Right. Well, I it's supply and demand to me. That's a nice linkage between market structure edge and these markets. It's all about, that's really what we come back to. It's supply and demand. And the trouble with understanding supply and demand's effect on derivatives is that they're implied demand and implied supply that may or may not actually manifest at the time. And that's what gets confusing. And of course, that today new options are trading. So the options that were for October expiration lapsed on Friday and settled Saturday morning. So now there's a new series that's trading. And all of this stuff comes back to me to supply and demand. I always like to talk about the thing for traders to keep in mind, just so that you're aware, you're prudent, you're well-informed, it's good to know what you're doing, that mortgage-backed securities back in 2006 became a way for the residential mortgage market to absorb a lot more demand for the underlying supply. And the trouble with that is when the prices of residential mortgages stopped rising, then all of that implied demand got written to zero. That's always the risk with a derivative instrument. And I've got nothing against ETFs and futures and so on. I just think that you should understand that. And that when prices become uncertain, now we've added an element of magnitude, potentially, if this continues on the course that it appears to be on, to the cryptocurrency market by introducing implied supply and demand that can be marked to zero. This is how you increase volatility in markets. On that happy note,
let's go into the markets. Let's go in. Yeah, obviously, you know, we can go into some individual stocks. Maybe we should just check out some individual stocks this week. We got Netflix. Let's go to Netflix. We got Netflix going to report tomorrow. Tesla's going to report Wednesday. Let's look at the market structure here. Break down Netflix, Tesla for us.
And drum roll, we have officially launched Market Structure Edge 2.0. So
nice.
that will become the platform as of a week from now. And the principal difference is that we've made it very easy to understand supply and demand. That's the whole point here. So everything now will be supply and demand. Noticed on my graph here for the October 18 Benzinga portfolio, where demand is rising and supply is falling, that it's very, that's what we want to put all the focus on. You know, it's supply and demand and understanding the underlying motivation. This is the challenge for technical charting to me. It's that we don't know what the motivation of the money behind the prices is. It would be good to know that, because they don't have the same purpose and time horizon. But we can now just go through here and I can look at everything. If I want to look at Tilray and compare it to STEM, I can immediately see those comparisons and see what the supply demand differences are. So it makes it very quick and easy. So let's go look at Netflix and Tesla's again. I mean, Tesla has never ceased to be an extraordinary market component. So here's Netflix from a supply demand perspective. So demand has peaked. That's what happens when it begins to come down, but it's still way above five. And the supply side continues to fall. It was very high. I mean, the reason the price stopped rising right here is because short volume was over 50% and way above trend. So price stopped rising. But this does not, this to me says, if you're in Netflix, you could stay in Netflix. The likelihood that this produces a stable stock at least, and maybe a rising one if short volume continues to work its way back below 50% and demand stays above five. It's just a 10-point scale, folks. And you can go do this yourselves. You can go, if you haven't used Edge, go to Market Structure Edge, sign up for a free trial, put your name and email in, and put Netflix in. Into it. You can just look it up just like I did there, and expand the time, and you can go back and see what has happened over time. Netflix has performed well because it spends a lot of time above five. You own stuff that's above five tends to do better. And if we looked at Tilray as a contrast, you know, you had the cannabis show last week, right? So how's cannabis? Well, if we look at this cannabis portfolio over here, mine has 11. You may have something else in it. And I could just look over the past 30 days and see that it's spending, the components combined are spending a lot of time below five. Well, it's not great. The demand is rising now, but it's not back to five. The supply side, not bad at all. It's near 40%. So let's go in here and look at Tilray. Tilray is a one, and it's been a one. It's about 34% short versus 45% in the S&P 500. The lead behavior is high-speed traders, just machines like Citadel and Virtu, just trading it against other things. And so when should we buy Tilray? Look at this. This is a, you know, this is a 30-day view, 30 trading days. And you want to see this green part of the graph above five.
We have a long ways to go.
Right. It's not. So it's just not great. Now, maybe if we come out of this options expirations period, so today, new options trade. Tomorrow, banks will true up the books. Wednesday, our volatility expirations. Very important to know about that, because everybody will reset their volatility trades. That's both low volatility. I might say, you know, I've got some JP Morgan funds through my financial advisors that are meant to track the S&P 500, but at 50% less volatility. Well, that involves derivatives that are designed to take out some of the volatility or offset it with some premiums, options premiums. So if that stuff picks up, maybe there's an opportunity in Tilray, but don't buy Tilray right now. I mean,
do you ever buy any stock with a market sentiment of one?
Yeah, Netflix.
Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. It's very interesting to see that if we could go back, test the data. And of course, historical data is no guarantee of future performance that is similar, but it's worth looking at. So if I buy Netflix at one, I like one at 10 is really great with Netflix, usually. Now we'll see. So again, it depends. For me, this is really good. If Netflix is a one because it spends so little time there, if it goes to one, you should buy it because it's almost never a one. That, you know, that means if you're trading it all the time, you're going to have a different entry point than a one. But you could make 8% in 23 days. Now you say, well, that's not very much. Oh, yes, it is. It's very good. 29% holding at 90 days. You're doing better than that on a proportionate basis. So, yes, there are one there. The stocks that spend very little time at one, NVIDIA is another. Tesla is another. If those stocks were at one, you could set up an alert to tell you when it's a one so that you buy it when it's a one. And it's, you know, that simple.
Tilray does not fit that bill.
Tilray does not fit. Tilray is just miserable. If we put Tilray in here and just back it, why? You would say, well.
It trades at one all the time.
At one all the time. Exactly. It's really a lot more complicated than that. I mean, look at that. Buying Tilray when it's a one is almost as bad as just buying and holding it. It's like, you know, it's down 49% the last 90 days. And why is that? Because look how much time it has spent below five. So you want to find stuff that spends a lot of time above five. Asana is, you know, that's it. There's a stock that here's a stock that spends a lot of time above five.
That was a Jason Raznick pick, by the way. We got to give Raz some props.
Okay,
that was
there you go.
A Raz pick back at $22, I think, or $25. Raz, great call. I don't know if he still got it.
Choosing wisely. That's very good. Look at all that time above 10. I mean, and here was an awesome new entry point. If it drops below 5, okay, that's a great time to buy it. You would have made 20% in about 5 days on Asana. So, it's, you know, that's really supply and demand. And it will be interesting, Spencer, to see, back bringing it full circle, how having an ETF in cryptocurrencies, and ETFs are infinitely elastic. That's the difference between, you know, so ETFs are just going out and buying cryptocurrencies. They're going to use futures, right? And futures also are infinitely elastic. So you take an infinitely elastic vehicle called a futures contract, and you put it into an infinitely elastic vehicle called an exchange traded fund. And what I mean by that is ETFs can create as many shares as are necessary to accommodate demand and keep the price right in line with the futures contract. Well, that's great on the way up. The trouble is always on the way down. And Dennis, here's something interesting to ponder. So I've been noting in my own trades that the likelihood that my trades are fragmented into fractions of pennies are 10 times higher on the way up than on the way down than the way up. So there'll be a penny spread in my trades on the way up. On the way down, it's a tenth of a penny, even a hundredth of a penny. I'll get intermediated. So that tells me something. It means it's very easy for money to get into the market. It's a lot harder for it to get out. And so those trades get fragmented.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's a couple questions for Tim in the chat. Tim, I believe we've got you on the calendar on the Power Hour this Friday, I think. Okay. So we'll save those questions. Everyone tune into that.
Try to bring some power.
I just want to ask you one question here, because we talk about entries and, you know, using market structure edge. Take a look at Bank America for me.
Yeah.
Because it's a screaming 10, right? It has to be a screaming 10.
Well, I don't know. Let's find out.
Oh, it's gotta
be.
It's
a five.
Not necessarily.
It's at a five?
Yeah. It's a five. And it spends a lot of time at five, which is interesting. You know, what do you do with stocks that spend a lot of time at five? Hold them during periods of market basing. You know, so if Tesla stops rising, go to the fives, like Costco. You know, if you want to ride an options expirations period out, put your money in Costco.
Wow.
It's just a five. Yeah. So, that's the thing, Joel. It won't give you awesome performance. It's going to give you what the market does effectively. The market's about a 5.4 most of the time.
So you so you just, then you hold this puppy, right? Until it goes. When's the last time it's been a 10? You do that?
It was a 10 right here. So it was a 10 at the month end transition. Now, why was that?
Wow.
Well, because the market was very volatile. Remember? So if we look at the broad market sentiment at the transition from September to October, look at it. We got clocked, right? So this was the market right there. Yeah. So everybody shoved their money into low volatility vehicles. And Bank of America is a great example. People like me using JP Morgan. Oh, the market's volatile. Put your money in the stuff that we will measure as fives. Put it in Bank of America, Costco. Philip Morris, Procter & Gamble, stuff that's going to be 50% less volatile than the broad market. And that's where you want to be during volatility. As soon as the volatility's over, back to Tesla we go, and NVIDIA and so on. It's the way to think about the supply and demand of the marketplace and where the money's going to go.
Tim Quast is the founder of Market Structure Eds. Link is on the screen. Joins us every Monday, Tim.
He's got one more
Spencer,
thing.
I want to bring there. Here's the gravitas for this program, and it's got nothing to do with Market Structure Edge. You guys have been busy, but I want to note that Colin Powell passed away this morning, and I had a chance to hear him speak one time. I actually traded letters with him once. I can't even remember what it was about, but I want to acknowledge the passing of a very fine American at age 84 today, Colin Powell.
As you should. I saw that happened right at the top of our show, I believe. So as you should. Tim, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you
good
again
to
next week.
You.
Triple D, what did you do to the market?
Didn't buy, I guess, was the problem there. We got supply, no demand.
Look at this. We another that was just like another 7-8 point leg down. I'm not sure. We got selling balances.
441. So again, you know, we had 3-day ripper here. Up 120 points. It went further than I thought because on the morning, you know, on Friday morning show, I thought it was overdone and we continued to rip higher here. So now we're getting the pullback, a little bit of the pullback anyways. I do believe you're looking at dips to buy here. Honestly, I think this market has still got new highs on the brain here. And I think you're buying the pullback, not only in SPY here this morning, in IWM as well. Now, again, you know, we've run a long way. So I'd rather get SPY down at 440. But there's individual stocks that are probably going to give you some levels. So I don't see much on SPY, but there's definitely some individual stocks that are probably going to get you some levels. And what about gold? What about Spencer's gold trade? Are you interested in buying gold here? Giving you the second shot right now, Spencer. Here you go. You're right back down to where you were talking about. And then 3 days ago, we thought you missed it. Oh, you didn't miss it.
Yeah,
gives you
right.
another chance.
You're right, Dennis.
Silver 2 coming back
pressure.
In a little bit.
Under pressure.
What shirt are you wearing, Dennis? What is that?
Daddy Shark. This is my life, man. Yeah,
cool.
I only rotate like 5 shirts for the show if you haven't noticed yet. So,
all right, we'll do some ticker time here.
Next
few minutes. It was convenient that Dennis pointed out Netflix and Tesla both trading higher into their earnings. They both have headlines this morning, but the headlines, frankly, I don't think are relevant. I think that it's more to do with earnings.
Are you watching that Squid Game or whatever?
No, I haven't. I haven't
you're going
that.
To?
Yeah, yeah, I will. I will.
Are you going to watch that one?
I'm very delayed. I'm very late on my pop culture. I will wait until I'm never in the culture in the moment.
In the moment for that show.
Me and Joel are 5 years behind the culture.
Yeah,
usually
it's not. I don't know.
We're
people
so far
like
behind
it.
That sometimes we're early.
I was just looking at the Netflix. I know it's coming to the report. It made that all-time high and, you know, bunch up and consolidation here. So sure looks like it wants to take a shot at that all-time high. And then Tesla's been running into its report. Just even when I noticed when the market was even going down a couple days last week, it was still going up. So boom, next monthly high in Tesla's not to 880.50 if you're looking to get out ahead of the report.
Okay,
grab
questions.
Some tickers. I'll grab a couple to start with. First, Upstart getting a downgrade here, which the stock has just been a monster. So somebody's trying to call the top of the Baird. I'm trying going for my memory. Who was it? Downgrade this morning, UPST, I believe, to underweight too. So I don't know if Spencer's got it in front of him.
Down 1873. I don't know. Pick your poison in this one. I'd say your 2-day low. Let's see what happens at your 2-day low if it even gets there. 347.57
downgraded at it's Bank America. Sorry, Bank America downgraded it to underperform price target 300. So they're saying it's overdone. So you got an analyst calling the top. Question is, you did sneak your head above 400. They downgrading in perfect timing. You sneak your head above the 400, and then you know you close not above it. Everybody kind of had 400 in the brain. I think you pull back to 350 here, maybe. The question is, did they just come and buy the dip on this stock too? It's so loved. I don't know if I want to buy it on day one though, and it's so overbought that I think there could be some more to slide ahead. So it's not an easy call.
If you want to try and sneak out on a gap fill, yesterday's low is not that far away, 380.60. And then that all-time closing high, they'll be stacked up there at 390. But there's some levels upside and downside for you.
Disney downgraded too. Chat saying, obviously, we saw that as well. Down $4 here. Big support, 169 to 170. Yeah, so $3 away from here.
Yep.
This is a stock you absolutely do not chase under any circumstances. We have the accordion chart, as Mr. Alconin has coined over the years, where it just keeps going up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah,
middle of nowhere. It's just in a range. You're buying, like, if you're playing the range, it's 168 to 185. So you're coming closer to the bottom of the range here now. I wouldn't be selling it down here. But, I mean, the Disney Plus is the wild card. And like I've said, I've poo-pooed that quite a bit here lately, that they just don't have the content there. And if they start losing subscribers there, Disney could actually take a hit.
There was also the report last week that was swiftly denied that they're maybe trying to spin off ESPN. So
ESPN's worth not much anyways, in my opinion.
It is not. What about U.S. Steel? Also downgraded this morning. I forget.
Cyclical Morgan Stanley taking it to sell from buy to sell. So lowering the price target to 17. I've been wanting to buy U.S. Steel. I bought Cleveland Cliffs. I've been wanting to buy U.S. Steel too. I'm not going to probably buy on the day it's downgraded here to sell because that can spook the street. But you got support down there in the low 20s. It's tough. I want to be long some commodities because of the inflation aspect of it. But there's also the consideration that the prices went up so much on some of these, you know, that, you know, and steel prices went up as well. Are we at a point where some construction projects get put on hold just due to increased, you know, material costs? That's a question. I mean, I've got a friend that, you know, does, you know, big quoting for, you know, major construction projects. And he said that this one company that he was quoting for was a $450 million project just 6 months ago. They requoted it now, $650 million. Not a joke. So I'm like, what do they do? I'm like, well, in this case, they had to go through with it. But there's definitely going to be some, you know, are you going to start to see some construction projects, major construction projects get put on the back burner when construction costs are up 20-30% over the course of the last year? That might happen. So infrastructure bill is a wild card here too. I want some exposure. I still kind of like U.S. Steel. I've been kind of liking it down here in the 20 to 21. I've played it a couple times because it's been working. I'm not buying on the first day it's downgraded, though.
All right. Boom. 20 and a half. Dennis mentioned the area. There's a lot of symbols here we missed. I'm going to hop over premarketprep.com and cover those. So take it away, guys.
All right. I'm going to stay on for just a second. There's a couple things I want to cover here. A few people in the chat talked about Bakkt, B-A-K-K-T, the crypto exchange, which is going public via SPAC. That SPAC conversion starts today. So today the ticker will be BKKT. The old ticker
What was the ticker on that one before?
VIH.
That was VIH.
There was a really good Twitter thread about this over the weekend from Fidel Cashflow, who's a good follow on Twitter if you don't follow Fidel Cashflow. Basically,
that's a cool name.
it is a cool name. Basically, Bakkt, if you don't know anything about it, it is a crypto exchange that is being spun off from ICE, which owns the New York Stock Exchange. The implication there was that, oh, this is a company that's backed by ICE, right? This is backed by NYSE. They know what they're doing. I think what this may end up becoming is not so much like a situation where, oh, ICE is backing this company. It's, oh, ICE is spinning this off because it's a dumpster fire. I want to show you the screenshot here from this Twitter thread over the weekend that I saw. All right. BKKT, right? Backed. Yeah. BKKT is your symbol. They might miss their guidance by 90 per their sales guidance and their user guidance by 90%. Okay. 90% miss. In March, in January, the company guided revenues for the year of $900 million on 9 million users. It looks not like now they could miss those numbers by 90%.
I want to get down and dirty in this anytime soon.
Full disclosure, I don't know where this screenshot is from. It's obviously from some sort of analyst note. I don't know what. It doesn't say. But this looks like kind of a dumpster fire. Here's a screenshot of Google search terms or Google search trends for Bakkt and Bakkt app going back to October of last year. Okay. This does not look great. This is a company that's going public with a $2 billion market cap. And it's, I mean, you can see the trading this morning. I'll pull up. I don't know if
it's $9.40. So yeah, it's just trading kind of flat from where I guess it went off the board at $9.36. So it's trading. I don't know. This, those numbers scare me away. So I know nothing about this. But you know, you're not winning me at hello on this one.
I'm not trying. I'm trying to lose you at hello.
You're trying to lose me at hello.
I'm trying to lose you at hello.
You lost me at hello. So
yeah. So, and I also wanted to bring up earnings calendar. Obviously, this week is the start of big earnings week. We didn't really cover any this morning. We had Albertsons and State Street, but tomorrow is the first really big day of the season. Tomorrow morning, we've got Johnson & Johnson. We've got Procter & Gamble. We've got Philip Morris. This is a calendar. But Netflix tomorrow afternoon, United Airlines. Tesla later in the week, Snapchat later in the week, Chipotle, Intel, Verizon, IBM, Southwest. You got like 50 freaking big reports. It's a big week.
Tesla, Netflix, Intel, PayPal, some of the big names, Snap. So, and then obviously the next week we're going to get into mega cap tech. So earnings season's in it. We're getting into the thick of it. We're going to start getting in the thick of it. So it's exciting.
Yep, exactly. So I wanted to bring that on your radar. And there's a couple more ratings this morning that we didn't get to real quick. I thought I saw some more. I'm going to pull them up in the pro right now, or go back to it in the pro. We talked about U.S. Steel,
Disney and Upstart. Those are the three that I had, the big ones.
I thought I saw another one, Disney and Upstart. There was another space downgrade.
Oh man, to sell. I saw that one too.
Yeah, there was UBS tough, down to sell in space. SPCE
15 to 16 on space. That's what I like better than, that's where I originally got in. I like the 15 to 16 area. So I think you've come this far, you might have a date with 15 to 16. So I think if you're buying a 19, you could be early. Just
last thing I wanted to say was, I don't know if you all been following the story with John Deere, but
the strike.
I was reading about that over the weekend. It does not look good for the company. There are people talking, I guess there was apparently a big strike in the 80s, and this is drawing a lot of parallels to that. They had their office workers in their production.
And the market shrugged it off on Thursday. So we saw this Thursday morning where they were really, you know, the strike was happening, and Deere was actually trading down $10 on that news. And we saw them buy the dip on that huge level 322. So they were selling it right into major support. That was the low back from, you know, June. And a lot of people, you know, even myself, sometimes poo-poo the technicals. The technicals worked like a charm on this Deere. The major support held. You're coming back up now. I think on dips, you still buy Deere.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. All right. You're
you know,
really,
I'm fairly consistent really buying dips and selling dip. Rips. I'm not even concerned what the company is at this point in time. It's been buying the dip and selling the rip has been working so well. I'm just applying it to everything.
You are indiscriminately buying every dip.
I'm indiscriminately buying dips and selling rips, pretty much. Unless it's like it's a headline like space, where I'm not buying the dip on space today.
Wow. All right.
All right. I'm going though. Everyone, thanks for a great chat here today, keeping me in line. We'll see you guys.
Right. Before we go into kind of the week's wrap up, I just want to really quickly put some areas on people's charts or radars. Yeah. Specialty retail is definitely an area that I'd pay attention to. I know that we have our supply chain issues, but for some reason, Amazon's looking really good for a breakout. If you look at that last candle on Friday, I actually really like that candle. It's whenever I feel like some people were getting bearish on Amazon, all of a sudden has a strong candle, it could take off, at least I feel. So Amazon's one to put on your radar. Meli, M-E-L-I. I like that chart. And then if we go into smaller specialty retailers like Best Buy, Wayfair, Overstock, Ulta. Ulta is a really good one, the makeup maker.
Yeah, the makeup is that an all-time high?
Look at that one.
Well, what the hell was that? What is that? It's near an all-time high from August.
I'm pretty sure that was earnings. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to continue to expect to see that one up. DKS, BGFV. So those are some that you can watch and some industries to keep on watch right now. I like shipping to see if it's going to come back. UPS, FedEx. You could also keep your eyes on department stores. KSS looking to fill the gap. Macy's looking strong there. Trucking is interesting. That's an industry that most people don't pay attention to, doing really well. USAK is a name in there. And the name that I'll give to make for a laggard play is BEST. That's best.
I don't know either of these.
There you go. You see, I got you.
Yeah. All right.
I'm bringing you some research that I did on the weekend.
All right.
Diversified industrials, not looking too bad. GE is my play in there. I'm actually starting to like the play, Spencer.
I already lost money in GE. I don't need to lose more money in GE.
All right. So not a bad one for you then. Maybe look at the railroads for you. TRNGBX.
TRN, and what was the other one?
GBX.
GBX. Okay.
So those are some other areas that I've been looking. I've been seeing the railroads actually really break out. If you look at the major ones, you'll see they're leading. These are more laggard plays, and I'm going to see if they can continue to move. They're not the biggest moves. You're talking about maybe, you know, the returns on these are like 5, 10% versus like, you know, a big momentum stock that moves like 20 or 30%. But I do like the names. And then an auto. This one's an interesting one. Look at Race.
Okay.
I normally
would never get this chart out. You're going to a race this week, aren't you?
I am going to a race. I'm going to Austin, Austin Grand Prix.
Nice. So,
look at that chart. That chart looks interesting, right?
Yeah, it doesn't look terrible.
Maybe you don't look at the name. You're just looking at the chart.
I mean, it doesn't look bad. No, it doesn't look bad at all. I mean, it's Ferrari, right? It's stable. It's steady, I think. I mean,
we'll keep an eye out. Of course, XPEV, NIO are also some charts to keep on watch. Just wanted to give you guys the research that I put in so they give you guys some value at the end of pre-market prep. Yeah.
I saw someone in the chat, I think it was Tiny Pie Media, bring up that interview, that viral interview on CNBC from, I think it was Friday on Upstart. That guy, Mark Minervini, he pretended to break up when he didn't know what the answer to the question was. He's been on our show before. Should we invite him on the show? It's been a while. It's been a long time, but he has been on the show once or twice back in the day. So one in the chat, if we should get the guy from the viral CNBC segment, or try to ask him on our show too, if you think we should not do that. But Mish coming through with some picks today. Can't say I like them all, but some of them at least were new for me. So thanks a lot. For that, Mitch, I'm seeing some ones in the chat. Okay, maybe I'll email. Maybe I'll reach out to Mark. Like, hey, man, do you want like a mulligan on that or what? Can I ask you what Upstart does? It was pretty funny. If you can laugh at yourself, I don't know if you. Not everyone can laugh at themselves, unfortunately. So, that's the way it goes sometimes. All right, here's the deal for today, everyone. We are going to end this show here, right here, right now. But we've got a full day of programming. Okay. The Cannabis Capital Conference was last week. It was Thursday and Friday. We're back to our normal stuff today. Here's the schedule. We've got David Green going live in around 10 or so minutes, but we're going to cut David short today. David usually goes from like 9:20-ish, 9:25 to 11. We're going to cut David at 10 o'clock today. And here is why. We're doing a new show today. It's going to be every Monday at 10 a.m., futures trading with Ninja Trader. It's going to be a half-hour show all about futures. Okay, we talked about futures a lot today, right, vis-a-vis the Bitcoin ETF. We're going to talk more about futures. If you don't know anything about futures, or even if you do, it's going to be a show devoted to futures. We've got an expert from Ninja Trader on with me. We're going to do a little bit of education and also just more analysis, right? Here is what the market's doing today. He trades everything. Any future, he trades it all, this guy. So 10 o'clock Eastern time today, right here on this channel, Future Trading with Ninja Trader, myself, and their expert. And it's a new show. We're trying something out, right? We're always trying new things. So that'll be at 10 o'clock today. At 11, we've got SPAC Tech at Power Hour. We've got at noon, we've got Power Hour. Matt Hammond from IPO Warriors will be on then. That's his new time, is middle of the day, not 9 a.m. We're going to do Matt Hammond at like 12:30 today. We've got Moon or Bust. We've got At the Close. We got Money Mitch. We got a full slate of shows today. We're back to our usual schedule, more or less. So that's the plan. I hope to be back in the office tomorrow. We'll see. It's much easier for me to stream from the office rather than doing this at home. So thanks to everyone in the chat for the engagement, as always. Even the people that are not so nice, we appreciate them. I appreciate you. How many likes are we at? We're at not even 300 likes. Can we get to 350 is my question. That's not a very high bar to clear. I think we can do it. Christian Gallagher, hit the like button. Whoa, what was that image? What was that, Mitch? Okay. Future show will be cool. Yes, it will, local 926 president. Yes, it will. That's the idea, right? A show devoted to futures, not so much talking about the stock market or anything like that. It's just futures. It's education, right? It's how the market works. And it's also what's the market doing. We're talking stock indexes. We're talking Bitcoin. We're talking commodities, right? All of it. For all the information from our show, all of our shows meant to be used as informational purposes only, not for investing or trading advice. Stay green, stay filled, stay healthy, make that money.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.